Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The Denisons, the Denisons, the busiest in the biz. You do know who it is, it's Dennis Quaid. That's him.
This is Dennis Quaid, and today I'm talking to the newest Real Housewife of Beverly Hills, Garcelle Bouvet. Her American dream story from Haiti to Hollywood is as interesting as it is inspiring. Won't you join us? You look fantastic.
I had press to do today. I am so sick of doing my own glam and my own lighting and my own production. I'm so over it.
Let me say, merry, happy, whatever.
Merry, happy, whatever.
We did a series together for Netflix.
We sure did. Your first
called Merry, Happy, Whatever. Yeah, and we were love interests.
We were. Very fun.
Yeah.
That was actually fun.
I mean, really loosened it up for me.
I've been a fan of yours forever. And so to get to work with you, sometimes you don't want to work with people that you actually admire because you're afraid they're not going to live up to it or they're going to be just assholes. Can I say that on your podcast? And you were a breath of fresh air. You were so fun. You were so easy to get to know. And I have to say, hats off to you for that.
I was so thankful to have you there. So that was my very first sitcom.
And
so I was probably the least experienced of anybody in the cast doing that, really. And so it was like a really quick tutorial to do that. But that was really a great 3 months. And too bad the series didn't go for a second. But there you have it.
There you have it. That's Hollywood, right?
Yeah, but you are on. Housewives of Beverly Hills.
How about that?
In fact, you got, I remember towards the end of shooting, that's when you got the call that you got it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right at the end of us shooting our film. I think around the wrap party, actually. And I remember my manager calling me saying, there's some interest in you for Beverly Hills. We're going to pass, but I just wanted to let you know. And I said, wait a minute. Let me sit with this for a moment. And I've always been in the mindset of always wanting to try new things. You know, I've hosted TV shows. I'm an author. I produce films. I always feel like, what's next? And now at my, stage in life, I'm single. My kids are 12. My twins are 12. I know you have twins too. It just felt like, why not? And it keeps me in LA because so many times, as actors, we're always away. And I feel like my kids are in middle school. It's about to be drug, sex, and rock and roll. Mama needs to be home.
Well, you are a Renaissance woman. It is true.
Thank you.
You're willing to take on anything. You're so game. That's one of the qualities that I love about you. You're game for anything, to try anything.
Yeah.
I found that out by working with you.
Oh, well, thank you. I feel like, I've been so lucky to come to the United States. I'm an immigrant. I was born in Haiti. I didn't know a word of English until I watched Sesame Street. And I almost feel like I'm living the American dream, but it's also my right to try everything because I have the opportunities.
Right. I would like to get into all that with you, in fact. I mean, your history and where you come from, because I find it so fascinating. And you really are a story of the American dream. You really, really are. coming to America, which is coming out.
Yeah.
Hopefully this summer.
But
you've had an incredible story. You have an incredible story. beginning with you were born in Haiti, and you moved to Massachusetts.
I sure
with
did.
Your mom, and how many siblings did
there's,
you have?
There's seven of us, but my mom did it in spurts. So she came out, she came to America first and got like paperwork, got a job, you know, the whole thing, and left us in Haiti for about a year and a half. And let me tell you, like, where you're a kid and your mom is like gone for a year and a half.
Yeah.
My sisters became my mom because, you know, they were older, they were taking care of us. So at the age of seven, my mom moved me and two of my sisters to the States. And the dead of winter, we moved to Massachusetts of all places.
Oh, wow.
I'd never seen snow. Never seen snow, never seen white people. I was like, what is going on? She snapped and she's killing. She's about to kill us.
I would like to know your memories of Haiti as a girl. What did your father was he a lawyer?
He was a lawyer. He left. He
what
left,
kind of law?
You know what? In Haiti, I don't think they divide it that way. I don't think it's like entertainment or you're a lawyer, you're a lawyer. You help anyone out.
Was he involved in government or anything like that?
A little bit in government, but he left when I was three. So I didn't really have a relationship with him until he came back into my life when I was 14. But my memories of Haiti was, you know, when you're a kid, you only know what you know. So I had fun. I would go see my grandmother in St. Mark, which is a sort of like a village outside of Port-au-Prince. And for me, I have fond memories, you know, of Haiti. So going back now, I went back last year and I took my boys, and it's so different. It's so different, obviously, after the earthquake.
How so? And everything.
Well, just, you know, the poverty hasn't changed. And even after the earthquake, with all the help, with all the, you know, funds that were raised, I feel like it doesn't go to the people. It just goes to the politicians. And
that's kind of the same old thing that is, has always been. And Haiti is at a very interesting past. It was the first, it has slave revolution in 1791. It was the first to a Western country, actually, to overcome slavery, in fact, back then. And I think when you were born, it was kind of the transition between Papa Doc and Baby Doc,
That's exactly right.
And at that time, I think the United States had opened up immigration again, to which probably, I guess, allowed your mom to come there.
Yeah.
She picked Massachusetts because of...
Well, it's so funny because we have family there. And also, we have family there, and education is big in the Haitian community. And so she wanted to go finish her nursing school and, you know, continue that. And, you know, basically we had family there. But after a while, she was like, it's too cold. We're moving to Miami. She was like, enough of this snow. So we moved to Miami. And
so
I
you
was
were about how old when you were?
I was around 16.
Ooh,
about 16 and a half. Mm-hmm. We moved to Miami. And then from
you
there,
had dreams of being a model at that time?
Well, I didn't even know what
or
modeling
an actress?
Was. But people would say to my mom, she should be a model. And we didn't know what that was. And so one day I was dating this guy. Who is another story? He's gay now, but he wasn't gay then, I don't think. Maybe I turned him gay. I don't know. He was doing. He was going to be an extra in a commercial. And he said, "Do you want to be an extra?" And I said, "What's that?" And so he told me, and it was an orange juice commercial on Miami Beach for 2 days. And I said, "Yeah, no problem." So day two, we're about to wrap, and one of the leads of the commercial was this beautiful black girl. And so I went up to her and I said, "Hey, I want to do what you're doing. How can I do that?" Dennis, she was not having me. She was like, "You're on your own."
It's only the competition around here.
Exactly. She didn't need my competition. So I found out who the agency was that she was with. So one day I asked my mom to borrow her car. It was in Fort Lauderdale. I'm driving to Fort Lauderdale. I get to Fort Lauderdale. I don't have an appointment, nothing. I'm just going there, being ballsy. And so I stop at a red light. And when I stop at the red light, I sort of poke my head out the window of my car, just to see if I needed more makeup, lipstick, whatever. So
looking in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, I'm looking in the mirror outside the car. Exactly. And then I decide, okay, I'm going to get more lipstick. So as I'm reaching for my lipstick, a hand comes in the car and scares the shit out of me. Because I'm at a light. I'm the only one in the car, right? So it was the woman in the car behind me. She saw when I leaned outside the window. She goes, you should be a model. She gives me her a card. It's Irene Marie, the agency that I was going to. It was the owner of the agency behind me at the light. Wow. How about that?
Wow. That's not a coincidence.
No. You can't write that. It's not a coincidence. So now, of course, I show up to the agency. I've got a card. And I'm like, hey, Irene Marie told me to come in.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a great first. That's a first interview you had.
In my car. Yeah. How about that?
Incredible.
Incredible. So then I was with them for about 6 months, and I leaned forward, you know, towards the country looking for new models. And she came, and I went and met with her, and I leaned forward, said to my mom, she should come to New York. And my mother said, okay. So at 17, I moved to New York City.
I lived with Irene Ford.
I sure did, until the model's apartment, until there was vacancy, because it was all booked when I moved to New York.
Wow.
So I lived with Irene Ford. How about that?
She...
Yeah, exactly.
She just kind of took you under her wing. And you had a very successful modeling career.
I did. I was really one of the lucky ones that I started working right away. It was really cool.
And you were like, 17, 18 years old?
Yeah.
Doing this. And you go to New York. And this would be, I would guess, in the 80s?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so did you started having acting ambitions at that time?
No, I mean, I was modeling for, you know, a long time. And then, you know, then people started saying, oh, would she do this? I did an episode of The Cosby Show. I did a music video with Michael Mann. So because of that music video for Peter Wolf, I don't know if you remember Peter Wolf. Rock and roll star. Anyways, I did a music video for him. And then Michael Mann directed that video, and then he gave me a part in Miami Vice, and parts started happening.
Miami Vice was your first show, first acting experience.
Yeah,
and what did you play?
I played a squatter. It was a family that was living in this abandoned building, and I played it. They were Haitian, so I played a Haitian squatter.
Well, you were also in New York in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been, I was there in New York in the 80s. It was a pretty wild time, yes.
It was wild.
Up until AIDS.
And okay.
Sort of the sexual revolution of the 80s. But it was a pretty wild time and a great time to be in New York at that time.
Oh my God, it was such a wild time. I mean, I remember leaving the house at 11 p.m. to go out and, you know, going to breakfast after the clubs.
Right.
Now I'm like, you want me to have dinner at 9? That's so late.
Yeah, I used to I was doing a play. I was doing True West with my brother in New York in the 80s. And I remember I would sleep until noon every day. And
right.
I had one little window outside of it. It was either gray or black or blue. And I knew what kind of a day it was.
Yeah, I remember Club 50, 54 area, all those clubs that were really, really popular. And it was fun times.
Maybe I saw you there.
Maybe. Wouldn't that be funny if there's a picture somewhere? Where...
Maybe not. I don't think I would have forgotten you if I had seen you.
You're
just
sweet.
For sure. Yeah.
You're very sweet.
But you got into Miami Vice, and and did that really pique your interest that maybe this acting stuff is for me? It was kind of more long term. And
yeah, absolutely. I just thought, you know, well, what would I do next? I didn't want to go to med school. I didn't want to do anything like that. And acting just felt like it was the next transition after modeling, or while I was modeling.
Yeah. Did this, what about Don Johnson?
Don Johnson was definitely a player. It was such a boy set. I mean, it was really, set was, you know, the guys ruled. And there were beautiful women everywhere. Just like when we did Coming to America. I mean, like any beautiful black woman was on that set, you know, between Eddie Murphy and John Landis, you know. they recruited, you know, some beautiful right. women. But yeah, that was really some fun times. And
yeah, that was a really, Eddie was, that was the very height of what Eddie was doing back in the 80s. And he was such on such a roll. I remember it was, he got some deal with Paramount. It was like the first to get like $15 million of movie. It was just that, it was incredible what was yeah. going on with him. It, just like a streak. Well, I know Craig Brewer.
I've got awesome.
Doing a movie with him, the Charlie Pride story, in fact. Yeah, and such a great guy.
A great guy.
Yeah. So it, to be back on that set 30 years later with Eddie.
Was incredible. Was incredible. I mean, everybody, first of all, black don't crack. We all looked good. We all looked the same. I'm
so jealous.
But we were just so happy to be there. It was like surreal that we were back. And Craig was such a fan of the movie that his energy just made, it was just really great. I'm a big fan of Craig Brewer. I can't wait to see what you guys do together. He's a great guy.
It's going to be real something.
Yeah.
He's a really fantastic guy.
Yeah.
So I guess with Coming to America, you've got an agent, I guess, by this time, like a real agent, right?
Yes. I got a real agent by this time. I moved to LA in 91, around there, and started like taking acting really seriously and taking classes and, you know, doing the rounds.
Yeah. And so you also have what, a 27-year-old son?
I do, who now
like me,
has a child.
My son, Jack.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Only I'm not a grandfather yet. You are a grandmother.
I am.
How's that say again?
It's so crazy to me. It's so crazy. I am, but I'm really happy. It's a blessing. And Oliver is so happy. And I think whenever a new life happens, especially now in the life that we're living in, I think it's a blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Tell me about your first relationship with the dad. Was that kind of through acting class or around
It was kind of through on 34th Street. I ran into him. I came out of Macy's with a bunch of bags in my hand and I bumped into him. And that's how we met.
Really?
my first husband. And we got married. I mean, I was young. My parents, you know, when I was with my parents, Haitian parents are very strict, especially with their daughters. So I wasn't allowed to date when I was home. So I think it was kind of like, oh my God, a man. And so we got married 2 months after we met, which was ridiculous. And then we had Oliver.
Just like that, just a whirlwind.
Yeah.
So your parents were restricted in that
really
sense. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, did you grow up Catholic? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So you had strict upbringing as far as boys and all that and following the rules of
1,000%
the way it was supposed to be and all that.
And I think those rules actually helped me when I was in New York because I could have become this wild girl, you know. And I think those rules were good for me looking back. But at the time when I was, you know, when I was home, they were super strict. I couldn't talk to a boy. I couldn't have phone calls. You know, it just wasn't. You get married. You leave the house when you get married. So the fact that my mom let me go to New York at the age of 17 was just mind-boggling. No one understood that she trusted that. But, you know, again, an opportunity she saw for me.
Just a really strong sense of family.
Yeah.
So you're living in New York still at this time when you had your first son,
yeah,
correct?
I had Oliver at, oh my God, why am I blanking on the
It was like 91? 92, because that's when Jack was born, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, yeah. Oliver's 28 now. He's was born.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
So 91.
But, 91. So yeah, had him there and then moved to LA when he was 6 months old. And you know how LA is about schools. So we take him to the pediatrician and he's 6 months. And the pediatrician goes, so what are you thinking about schools for him? And I'm like, are you kidding? He's drooling. We're not thinking about schools, right?
The first thing, the West Side, were you on the West Side or something?
Yes,
or what?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
West
my
Side
God.
LA schools, yeah, you got to get it. Where you get into like preschool determines where you're going to go to college.
Right, exactly.
In West LA, for some reason, I don't know why. Yeah.
I don't know why either.
The parental guilt over all that.
Exactly.
Drives me crazy.
Me too. And so, so we moved and he was 6 months old and we've been in LA ever since.
Your first marriage, when did that end?
That ended when we moved to LA. That was another thing. When we signed Oliver up for school, they were like, child resides with whom? And I thought, wow, that's like so bold that it's on an application, right?
Right.
But because, you know, families split up a lot of the times. So, we were here for quite a while, and then our marriage just, we didn't know each other enough. You know what I mean? I mean, we didn't know each other. We were growing in different ways. And
was he an actor too, or was he?
No, he wasn't in the business at all. He wasn't. Yeah. But we have a great relationship.
Yeah. So the reason for actually moving to California was because of, I guess, your career mostly?
Yeah, mostly for my career. And also we didn't want to raise Oliver in the city, in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but that was our choice.
Yeah, I get you. Kids in space and all of that.
Yeah.
And so you're continuing along. And then along comes Jamie Foxx.
Along comes Mr. Jamie Foxx. Yes. Yeah. I remember auditioning for that and reading with Jamie. And at the time I had done a music video with R. Kelly that was really popular. And it was back in the day where people called in to request videos. And so I'm sitting in the waiting room with the other actresses and Jamie comes up to me and he goes, you have no idea how many times I requested that video. And I thought, okay, that's a good sign. I may get the job.
He's such a great guy. We did Any Given Sunday together.
And
it was it was like watching him become a major movie star on that movie. Because, you know, it was Al Pacino.
Yeah.
It was Yours Truly.
Yeah.
And LL was Cool J. And there's so many people that were, you know, really well known. And that the part that Jamie was up for, everybody wanted that part. And Jamie came on, and just within a week, you could see this guy is going to be a giant movie star. He was already, I mean, a star, television and as a comedian, but it was just, he really took over the movie. And it was fantastic to watch.
He's incredible. We would rehearse during the week. We would rehearse from Monday through Thursday. We put the show up on its feet, and when, you know, we'd rehearse like you would for a sitcom, but when the audience came in, he would feed off the audience so much that it was like doing improv, because he would change lines. It was the best sort of education for me. It was like an improv class, because he would be so fired up by the energy that he'd get from the crowd that, you know, it was great to watch him sort of like do this thing. And he would sit at the piano in between takes and, you know, do Ray or play, you know, these incredible pieces. And you're like, who is this guy? He's not just a stand-up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just incredibly talented.
Yeah. He does so many things and does them not just well, but in like a really kind of a brilliant genius way. He's just so fast.
Yeah.
And very genuine too.
Very genuine. And in the middle of all that, he would travel across the country on the weekends and do stand-up. And then he'd come back with the craziest stories, though. I mean, you know, the women, the booze. I mean, he'd come back and I'm like, all that happened in 2 days? How is that possible?
Yeah. There was it's obvious to ask. Was there a romance between the two?
We loved each other so much. There was definitely a lot of chemistry, but we had made a pact that we weren't going to jeopardize our jobs, you know, and do anything foolish. And then we hate each other and we still have to work and we lose the chemistry. So that was a really smart thing we did on our behalf. And then 2 weeks before we wrapped the show, I got engaged and he was like, you couldn't wait. I was like, sorry, Fox. I fell in love.
Hey, Dennis Quaid here. You may know that I'm a musician and a huge music fan, and I want to tell you about a new podcast that I discovered. I've been listening to Eric Krasno Plus One, a podcast hosted by Grammy Award-winning guitarist and producer Eric Krasno. I love the interviews. They go deep with musicians, and you hear stories of life in the studio, life on the road, those are really good. Or bad, depending on which side of the story you're on. You got stories with bandmates and all the other shenanigans that go on behind the scenes. On Plus One, Eric has candid conversations with legendary musicians, many who are also his friends. And at the end of each episode, Eric plays a favorite track from his guest. So it's great for discovering new music, too. On Plus One, Eric has candid conversations with legendary musicians, many who are also his friends. And at the end of each episode, Eric plays a favorite track from his guest. So it's great for discovering new music, too. Eric's talked to people like Dave Matthews, Marcus King, Chris Robinson, and upcoming episodes feature conversations with John Mayer, Questlove, Derek Trucks, Phil Lesh, and so many more. So take a listen to Eric Krasno Plus One. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast. Hi, Dennis Quaid here. Hey, we all have tough days and things that interfere with our happiness or achieving our goals. If you are looking to better yourself, then you should look into BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. BetterHelp evaluates what you need and connects you to your very own licensed professional therapist. You'll be connected in less than one day, and you can send messages to your counselor anytime, day or night. This is not self-help, but it is professional counseling from the comfort of your own home. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you could schedule your own weekly video or phone sessions. Confidential, convenient, professional, and affordable. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/Quaid. Join over 800,000 people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Quaid.
Do you still see Jamie every once in a while?
Every once in a while we hang out. I'll either go to his house. I brought my kids. He's always having parties. He is so genuine. And I'm actually really happy that nothing romantic ever happened, because our friendship now means the world to both of us, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing to have a friendship like that between a man and woman. Well, it's the old When Harry Met Sally story.
Right.
That it can men and women just be friends.
Right. It's definitely possible.
Well, I know that must have been very difficult for him. But now you're both single. You're both single.
I know, but it would be weird now.
Talk about When Harry Met Sally.
That's true. One of my favorite movies, by the way. I think we're in different places. But he's really great. I produced this movie and he supported it and actually helped fund it. So he's a great friend.
Oh yeah? What was that? Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's called Lalo's House, and it's a heavy topic. It deals with sex trafficking, and it was a story that we shot in Haiti, and we also shot in LA. It's about these two little girls that get kidnapped, and they wake up, and they're in an orphanage, and the nun, and I play the nun, and the nun who is running the orphanage is actually running a sex trafficking ring, and she's in jail right now in Haiti. And this little movie, I tell you, it's a 25-minute short.
This is a true story.
It's a true story. We won so many awards for it in festivals, and our director won a Student Academy Award for it.
Wow.
So it was really powerful, and it's just, it's happening everywhere. It's not just a Haiti thing. It's not just a rural thing.
Yeah.
It's really something that everybody needs to be aware of.
Yes, that is really true. And it's very prevalent in places like Haiti, which is the poorest economy in the Western Hemisphere, and desperation leads to a lot of things. That it just, I was down in the Dominican Republic just next door this last year making a film down there, and my heart goes out to
yeah
the people down there. It's a tough road. I was interviewing Albert Pujols, who is from there, and I went to the Bates and the sugarcane workers that are down there, and it's another life.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's great that you still stay, you know, connected. Staying with your roots and staying connected to all
100%, that. 100%. Yeah. You can't forget where you come from.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about doing anything else besides being an actor? Does a kid ever come to you? Your mom was a nurse, right?
Yeah. I always wanted to be a journalist. I don't know why. I mean, I love talking to people because I'm curious about people.
Yeah.
And people reveal to me, Dennis, the craziest things. Like, I'll meet someone and they'll tell me about like a sexual position and I'll be like, I just said good morning. People reveal all kinds of things to me. I don't know why.
Well,
I have no
idea. I'm not going to go there.
Okay. But you know, so I.
Why do you have this effect on me? I don't know what it is. Every time I see you, we just start laughing.
We have a good time. But I think, you know, so being a journalist or something having to do with entertainment and, you know, interviewing with people, connecting with people is really what I love.
With everything that you've done in your life, I wouldn't rule that out.
Yeah. Thank you. You never know.
Yeah.
There's always something up my sleeve.
You go on your acting career and modeling, I guess, kind of put to the side. You had on the cover of Playboy, actually, even back then. How was that, doing that?
That was really interesting. That was really interesting. They had come to me before, and it didn't seem right. You know, timing is everything.
They came to you, what, while you were doing the Jamie Foxx?
Sort of modeling, transitioning into acting, and it just didn't seem right for me at the time. And then when they came back around again, I felt like I was going through infertility issues at the time, trying to get pregnant with the twins. So I was really down on my body, and I was really feeling bad that I couldn't get pregnant. And it was just I was just in a weird mind space. And then as I thought about it and Playboy came around, I said, you know, I should honor my body. I should change my mindset. And, you know, a girlfriend of mine was pregnant, and I used to get like, not jealous, but just envious of my friends that were getting pregnant really easily. So then a friend of mine, I said, I have to change my mindset. A friend of mine got pregnant, and I was like, you know what? I want to throw you a baby shower, because I really felt like I believe in energy and universe and all that stuff. So I thought, I really need to have it changed. So then Playboy came back around again, and I thought, this is a way to honor my body. This is a way to be okay with how I look, what's going on in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I spoke to my husband at the time, and he wasn't really for it, but I talked him into it. And you know, it's kind of
so
weird.
He talked, you talked him into it.
He was like, I don't know if you should do it. And so then I talked him into it. And then, so at the time I was still doing infertility treatment. So I had to be around. And with Playboy, they were like, so excited to have me. They said, you know, you can shoot it anywhere you want in the world. You can choose the photographer. You can, obviously have whoever you want to do your makeup and hair. So then because of my infertility, my glam team was so excited. They're like, oh my God, where should we go? Should we go to Switzerland? Should we go to Africa? We ended up going to Long Beach.
Down in the LBC.
Right. Exactly.
Exotic. LBC.
I had to stick close to LA for my fertility treatment. I still owe them one. So we shot it on the Queen Mary in the LBC.
You were in fertility treatment. So you're talking about ICSI or?
We were doing, where you transfer the eggs and the whole thing.
Yes, you know, I did the same thing with my twins too.
Did you?
Which I think, which I think we talked about. That was
That's a tough thing.
You've got your beautiful boys. And,
yes, thank you, God.
Yeah, they were fantastic. They came to the set.
Thank you.
We were doing that. And you could just tell just how devoted you are to them. And they're just the center of your world.
They're real. I mean, you know, I never wanted to phone it in. And that's funny because when I was doing the Jamie Foxx show, Oliver, my oldest, was little. And I remember Jamie used to go, wow, you're really doing this. Because I wouldn't have a nanny. He'd come to set with me, you know, do the whole thing. You know, I take it seriously. I figured this is my shot at being a mom, you know? Mm-hmm. Before you know it, they're going to be out of the house. Right now, I'm kind of ready for them to be out of the house because we've been quarantined. But other than that, you know, they grow up so fast, you know. I mean, Chipak, yeah. you know how it is.
Right.
So, but I enjoy it. I enjoy being a mom.
And then your older son, he lives in Los Angeles? Or,
no, he no or longer lives in L.A. He's in Vegas now.
What was it that pulled apart your first marriage? When you did the Playboy...
When I did the Playboy, it was Mike with my twin's dad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, because you were going through fertility treatments.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Oh, my God, is that Beaches?
Yeah.
I remember Peaches. Peaches is a hoot. Peaches loves bacon.
Yeah, she was the set dog. I remember on the set.
That's right. Yeah.
See those bacon or anything that has
flavor
that clucks or moos or or whatever.
I love seeing Peaches every day. You would bring Peaches to the set.
You met your second husband then. Your first marriage ended at about.
I don't even know the time frame, but Oliver was three.
Yeah,
Oliver was 3 years old. Yeah,
and so you were a single mom and. Then along came your second husband.
Yeah, when Oliver was 7. So that was about 4 years.
Yeah.
So Oliver was 7.
So was that like love at first sight or what?
No, we actually were friends. We were friends. And he was a young agent at CAA. And he reached out to my then manager and said, you know, I'd love to have lunch with her. And my manager goes, don't ask her out. Everybody asks her out. Like, do you want to be her agent or do you want to date her? Like,
right.
And so the three of us ended up having lunch and I just thought he was really smart and knew the industry. And so we became friends. So we were friends for about a little over a year. And then one day he invited me to a barbecue and we went to the barbecue and he kissed me out of the blue. And that sort of changed everything.
Wow.
Yeah. The old barbecue.
After a year?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was actually dating someone else and we were just friends.
Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible. And you guys were together for?
Together almost 11 years. Almost nine years married.
That's really, wow.
Yeah.
That's a long.
Yeah,
that's a long time.
Especially in Hollywood.
Yes, it is. Some might consider that a success. I guess it's a success. Well, I was married for 13 years twice.
Okay.
So, well, not that married. That is a success. Married, right? But I would say both the marriages were like around a 9-10 year thing.
Yeah.
And so success in the way that beautiful kids because of it.
Exactly. And you know what? I believe in everything happens for a reason. And it's part of the journey, you know? It's part of my journey. I wouldn't change it for anything. I don't regret anything. Because I feel like if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be where I am now. So.
Yeah. But the breakup of relationships is so.
It's hard.
Oh, gosh. It's so painful.
Especially when you have little kids. And it's not like you can, you know, forget the person. The person's in your life for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And it's also the publicness of it, which.
That's huge.
When you're an actor,
it's,
I know from, the stories and what I read that yours was kind of famous in its own way of the, I think you sent out an email or a text
I did. You know, a woman scorned. I had just found out and I sent an email and that exposed the, you know, what was going on. And that made it public. But, you know, I think whenever, you know, you're famous and you've been famous for a very long time, that even anybody you go out to dinner with becomes a relationship in the public eye. You know, you may have just dated somebody, you know, for a week or 2 weeks, and I'm not a big dater. So when I date someone and it gets out there in the public, it becomes a thing, whether it lasts or not.
Yeah. They want to get their snapshot.
That's really hard.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But you are fabulously single.
Yes, Dennis.
Now.
Yes. What are you going to do about
on,
it?
and on Housewives. And I've been watching the show.
Oh, my God.
Gosh, every episode, your fashion, your flair.
Thank you. And
how do you feel like you fit in?
I think I fit
You're the first woman of color who is on.
How about that?
Whatever that means.
Whatever that means, exactly.
Yeah.
It's definitely about time, because I think we're in every zip code. But I'm happy to be the one. I really wanted to come and just be me. I didn't want to be, you know, what people perceived a black woman to be. I didn't want to come in with an attitude that, you know, I had a chip on my shoulder. I really just wanted to be me and get to know the women.
You're very open. You're yourself. I can tell you this. You are very authentic. You're just an authentic person.
Thank you.
To begin with. Must have been intimidating, though.
Oh, God. Of course. I've never done reality before. I've been asked over the years, never wanted to do it, to have cameras in my house, to have cameras in my car, to have my kids mic'd, you know, is a totally different world. And, you know,
were they for it? You doing the show?
My kids? Well, they didn't know the show. And when I told them, my son Jax is all about getting cash, he was like, are we getting paid? I'm only in it.
Yeah.
He wanted to know if he was getting paid right away.
How much of the show is scripted, and how much is
none
because you have
it.
To come up
none. None. But that was
do
the
they come up with
part.
The scenarios at all?
No. The only thing they do is they get us together.
And then I noticed that they have these games that are the kind of the go-to thing to sort of incite drama. It seems
right.
So in that way, maybe it's a little scripted in that.
No, not at all, because that's us coming up with it. And that was one of the things that I was so surprised about, is that the fact that it wasn't it. I thought it'd be more scripted. It's really like we give our schedules for the month and then they decide who they're following. But then, you know, they'll say, oh, Garcelle, you and Denise are going to go have lunch. And that's really it.
Yeah.
You know, Denise would like to have you over for lunch. And then I go to Denise's house and then we end up talking about the other women, which.
Right. Of course.
Which we
and
do.
So when you go over to Denise's house for lunch, it's not something like you have like pre-talks about like on the phone night before or anything
we're not
like
even
that.
Really
you just
to,
go in cold. Yeah. Because they want to capture every little thing that goes with that.
Exactly.
I would guess, right?
Yeah. They don't really want us talking outside of the show, you know, because they want to get it on camera. Because if something gets resolved and they don't have it, how do they explain it, right?
Yeah.
So Denise Richards and I, we've been friends for over 20 years. So, you know, she's a great girl. She's gone through a lot, obviously. Divorce with Charlie.
You've got to have similar circumstances with the modeling and with acting and the kids.
And public divorces.
Public divorces. And,
exactly.
Right.
So, and Denise is a great girl. So she sort of was my introduction into the Housewives with the women. And, you know, Lisa Rinna, I've known. Everybody knows Lisa Rinna, Harry Hamlin, you know.
Right.
So it's been really interesting to get to know the women. And whenever you get 8 strong, modern women who say how they feel, there's bound to be drama.
Yeah. Do you ever feel like when you're on the set there and, you know, you're in the middle of the scenes, do you ever find stuff coming out of your mouth that, oop, I wish I could take that back?
1,000%. I have said way too much in the first 3 episodes than I planned on. Yeah, because, you know, but I feel like for me, it's got to be organic, you know. And so if somebody asks me a question, I'm going to answer it.
Right.
And, you know, I've shared about my kids finding my vibrator, which, you know, thank God my kids are not watching the show. But maybe their friends will.
Oh, really? Are you sure about that?
I'm not sure about anything, honestly.
Oh, heck, you know, it's all just life.
We're grown-ups.
You know, we're grown-ups. In that sense. Well, I have to ask, is there anything that you would like to share with us that maybe it's
the rest of America
would like to hear.
Waiting to hear.
I'm waiting for you to fix me up with someone, Dennis. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
We could do that. Maybe we could do that on the show, but you're already finished shooting. I guess we'd have to save next that for season. Next season, but exactly. You'll probably have somebody. Well, I think Jamie Foxx. That's my choice.
All right.
I would really love to get that one going again.
Oh my God, the two of you
are the greatest. But it must be having a blast. So when does the next season start?
Well, now because of quarantine, we don't know. I know we have our reunion coming up June 26th. So hopefully we don't have to do that, you know, virtually like everybody else is doing everything virtually. So hopefully we'll be able to do that in person. But I would think somewhere around August, we'll start up for the next season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
and
you know,
how long do you shoot? What is it, like 3 months?
Yeah, about 3 months.
Shooting?
Yeah, about 3 months. But
do any of the housewives like see each other or talk to each other in the off season?
I don't think so. Maybe the other girls do. I mean, Denise and I stay in touch, and we have a group, we have a group chat that every now and then we'll just say hi. Like, we just got 5,000 masks and we donated to a hospital. So we communicate.
Oh, that's great.
That. But other than that, not really.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah. How are you handling the quarantine, by the way?
Oh, I'm ready to be out. It's hard. I mean, everybody I'm always is. On the go. It's really hard. For me, the one constant that we've been able to do, my ex and I, is that the kids still do a week with me and a week with him, because otherwise it wouldn't be fair to one parent to have them. Not fair or sane.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's tough. Yeah. It's tough when I have the kids. You know, it's a lot of cooking. It's a lot of cleaning, making sure they're doing their schoolwork, trying to get them to spend time with me, which they don't want to do because they only want to be on video games with their friends. And then when I don't have them, it's trying to occupy my time and not, you know, going to a negative and not being lonely. It's a balance. But the fact that we're all in it together is a little bit of a, it makes it a little easier to swallow.
Well, it's nice having a job waiting for you on the other side of it.
100%. And I started my own podcast, by the way. So that's been great to be able to do.
Yeah. Well, if you want me on yours, I'd be most delighted.
I would love
to do a quid pro quo, as they say. So I would love it.
And by the way, Dennis, it's called going to bed. It's called going to bed with Garcelle. So you'd have to come to bed with me.
this is my only chance to be like one of those rag sheet journalists, as it were.
So, exactly.
Is there anybody on Housewives that you don't get along with?
Well,
or have found it difficult to get to know?
I wouldn't say difficult to get to know. My thing is, you know, if you're getting to know someone, it should be a two-way street. And I've made an effort to try to get to know everybody. And there's there's one in particular that didn't do the same. So
who was the hardest nut to crack?
Oh God. Oh God, Dennis. You're gonna get me.
Because everybody winds up just loving you. It's impossible not to.
Well, thank you. Kyle Richards, I felt like we got along, but I felt like she never went any deeper with me. She never really got to know me or ask me any personal questions. So we're going to wait till the reunion. Apparently, she said in the press, shots fired. Let's wait until the reunion. So here we go.
Really? Some offhand comment, which turns out to be.
Right?
Yeah. And Andy, I just love Andy.
Oh, Andy is awesome.
He's gone. He's got, and very shady. I was on his show like three times, and I can't believe what came out of my mouth.
Oh, he gets you to say things, right?
I don't know how he does that.
He gets you to say things.
Yeah.
That's so funny. But well, I would love for you to come to bed with me, Dennis Quaid.
What?
I know your girl. She's fantastic, but my podcast is going. My podcast is going to bed with Garcelle.
Okay.
You got to come to bed.
All right. You heard that, right, Annie?
Yeah.
She's right.
By the way, I knew you guys had great chemistry the moment I met her and saw you guys on set. You can feel it.
Yeah, that was very early on, and we missed getting married. We were going to get married in Hawaii because on April April the 4th we were going to get married. Aww. And so we missed that, but we've got other plans too.
I'm sure you do. That's fantastic. Coming up here.
Yeah.
Good.
Which I'll share with you later on.
Awesome.
But anyway, gosh, you're the greatest.
I adore you.
Once again, it's like you're my favorite guest because
you
just make me smile and laugh, and you just really brighten the day just by your own light that comes out of you.
Oh, I love that. Thank you, Dennis. I adore you. I miss you too. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm honored.
Say hello to your boys.
And I will.
Good luck, and may the force be with you.
Thank you. Bye, Dennis.
See you later, sweetheart. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Denisance. Please make sure to rate, review, and of course, subscribe so you can get new episodes delivered straight to your podcast player. Hey, and make sure to tune back in next week.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.